Hello, everybody. If you recognize that theme, you know this is Basic Gospel with Bob Christopher, Richard Piper, and my name is Bob Davis. Thanks for joining us. You know, every day on this broadcast, you hear the Word of God, and it reveals true freedom and life in Jesus Christ, and it intersects with your life every day. We are live right now, on the air and online, so you can be on the air or online and pose your question or your particular life issue. Give us a call at toll-free number 844-322-2742 or 844-32-BASIC, 844-32-BASIC. We appreciate a call from you right now. The lines are wide open, and we want to fully address your particular issue or question on this edition of the broadcast. Well, this is Basic Gospel, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. We want to spend just a couple of minutes talking about kind of the purpose of Basic Gospel while we are on the air. And as a ministry, we exist to help people hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. That's why God has called us into existence. I think that's why people support this broadcast, to give folks out there listening to the radio program, connecting with us through the internet or one of our resources, to give them an opportunity to hear what this good news is all about, to fully be persuaded that it's true for them so that they can live a good news story in their day-to-day lives. That's what Basic Gospel is all about. And so we try to stick to the things that are of most importance as far as the Word of God is concerned. That's exactly what Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 15, starting in verse 3. He says, "For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received." So there are things that are intriguing, there are things that are fascinating, but that doesn't mean they're that important. It cause us to have lively discussions and provoke interest and all of that. But as far as day-to-day living, there are things that are much more important. And those things, Paul says, are the death, the burial, the resurrection, and the ascension of Jesus Christ. So what he passed on was the fact that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures. Why is that important to us? Why? Because we experience shame and guilt and fear and all of those sort of things. Many of us walk through life as if we're walking on eggshells, just waiting for the hammer of God's punishment to fall right on top of our heads. So we're afraid. We hide. We put masks on. All of those things to cover up that shame and fear and guilt. And yet this gospel message delivers an announcement of freedom. I can remove the mask. I can let go of the fear. I can shed the shame and walk into the freedom, knowing that my sins have been forgiven by the death of Jesus Christ. He was buried. That's an important piece of this gospel message, the fact that Jesus Christ was buried. What does that signify? An end to the old. Boy, all of us want the old life to end. We're tired of it. We're looking for something new. Well, Christ buried that old life when he was buried, and then he was raised back to life. What does that mean to us, that there's this newness that has come to us, that we have received new life in Jesus Christ? Those are the things that are important to us, and those are the things that we have to cycle back to and build our lives upon in anything and everything that we experience in life. That's what this radio broadcast is all about, helping folks get reconnected to those things that are of first importance to God, the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ.
And many times that comes through the hard issues of life that we face, and perhaps questions that we can't quite answer. And we would love to address those questions or that particular situation for you on this edition of Basic Gospel with Bob Christopher, Richard Piper. My name is Bob Davis, and again, thank you for joining us. Plenty of open lines, 844-322-2742. That's toll-free, 844-32-BASIC. Give us a call.
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's go out to Denver, Colorado, and talk to Kenny, listening to us on KRKS. Hi, Kenny.
Hey, good afternoon. Hope you had a great Thanksgiving. I didn't have anything to be thankful for, but when I look back on it, I had a whole bunch to be thankful for. But my question is, when I'm reading that Bible and I read something, how do I know that I'm supposed to take it literally or otherwise?
Kenny, that's an excellent question. Yes. And as far as interpreting the Word of God, I think context is the most important piece of that puzzle. A lot of times we take a verse, just one single verse, and we lift it off the pages and we try to figure out what that one verse means. But when we put it back into context and read the entire chapter or read the entire book, I think that will help us understand if we are to take something literally or if we are to see it as simply a metaphor, something like that. So I think context is key to helping us understand. The other aspect of biblical interpretation is simply this, that the Word of God is God's testimony concerning Jesus, that Jesus is the message of the Bible from start to finish. So I think with every time we go into the Word of God, we can ask the question, Lord, what aspect of Jesus do you want to reveal to me today? I'm open to allowing the Spirit of God to take the things of the Lord Jesus that are in the Word of God and reveal those to me in a way that I know what I'm reading and know how to apply that in everyday life.
Well, I understand about doing it in context. In fact, that's how I read the Bible the first time, to keep it in context. But then I'd come up with, this is what it says, and they say, oh, no, that's not what it means. And I'm going, well, wait a minute. I am keeping it in context, and I'll use just two real quick ones that I understand the thing. God hates a divorcing. Another one is honor thy mother and thy father. But then they'll say, yeah, honor thy mother and thy father, but only with these under these circumstances. And it just throws me for a loop to say, well, why did I even read this Bible? I mean, I grew up, I didn't read the Bible for the first time until I was 40 years old. I'd learned about other things, and I've called you guys a number of times and had that same thing, excellent question. And I'm just trying to make heads or tails of it. God has been very wonderful for me in my life, but at the same time, there's a lot of pitfalls, and I go, well, okay, I've gone through this for this reason or that reason, and it's God's timing, not my timing. So I'm confused a lot of times.
Well, Kenny, we all go through trials and tribulations. That's certainly,
right,
you know, a part of this life. That's just a common experience that we all have. That's why we need the Word of God for encouragement, to keep our eyes on Jesus in the midst of those. As far as the two things that you brought up, God hates the divorce. Well, that's true. He hates divorce. Why? Because marriage is really a picture that points us to the relationship that Jesus Christ has with the church. And that relationship can never be separated. There's no divorcing of the church from Jesus or Jesus from the church. He's brought that together. He's the glue that holds it together, and it's going to be together eternally. And so marriage is a picture of Christ and the church. That's what Paul said in the book of Ephesians. So when we divorce as believers in Christ, we are taking away from that picture that God has given us of his love of the church. And plus, there's incredible emotional pain and heartache that flows from that. And God hates that his children are going to experience those things. So we can understand that. So you know, it's a pretty simple thing. I think you're probably understanding it exactly the way it's meant to be understood.
Okay, I can go for that. I thank you.
Well, you're welcome. Thank you, Kenny. God bless you.
Yeah. Plenty of open lines. Want to hear from you and address your particular situation. 844-32-BASIC, 844-32-BASIC. Lines are wide open. Plenty of time on the clock. Guys, a question from Tammy, who writes to us from, online. She says, I was raised in church and accepted Jesus and was baptized as a teenager, middle age now. I've had an unhealthy habit most of my adult life and always had the feeling God was going to get me for it or I would die from it and somehow not go to heaven. Many years I suffered from panic disorder, which became crippling. I was almost dysfunctional. But a few years ago, I became more sure of the truth of the new covenant message and told God I would trust him no matter what became of me. I know God delivered me from it. I no longer have to take medicine. The thing is, I no longer have that general feeling of guilt that made me sick, but I still have the bad habit. What about that one?
Well, I don't know exactly what the bad habit is, but, you know, it's wonderful news that she has come to grips with yes. what Christ has accomplished for us through his death, burial, and resurrection. And that will give her, I think, an objective starting point to deal with the bad habit. Certainly, if there's a bad habit, it's detrimental to us. That's why they're called bad habits. Yeah. Good habits are
that's
good
discernment, right?
Yeah,
there,
that's right. Are good things for us. So the fact that you can come to the point and realize that God has taken away your sin, that God has clothed you in his righteousness, that God has ushered you into this new covenant with new life. That is a wonderful, wonderful thing as you continue to grow in that grace and to grow in the knowledge of who you are in Christ Jesus. Then you can see this bad habit starting to become less and less in your life. It's a byproduct. As we walk in the Spirit, we're able to not give in to the desires of the flesh. And that's what bad habits really are. They're just fleshly desires that we've given into, and that's become kind of a way of life for us. So as we learn to walk in the Spirit, grow in the grace of God, grow in our knowledge of Christ Jesus, we're going to see ourselves not giving in to those fleshly desires as much as we used to.
Yeah.
But it's a process. And there's never a time where we are totally free from that. Why? Because we're still have these bodies, and there's flesh, and sin is in this flesh of ours. And so it's always going to have a pull on us. And there will be times that we give in, but we don't have to say, oh, man, this just isn't working. We just have to realize that we've just given in that particular moment. God's continuing to do his work in us, and he has promised to complete it, so we can trust him to do so.
Yeah, one of the things that she indicated is that God already has worked with her on this because the guilt is gone.
Right.
That's the first thing he does. That's the demonstration that we are forgiven people, is the guilt and the shame go away, and now you're left with whatever it is sitting on the table staring at you. And the Spirit yeah. says, what would you like, you know, would you like me to help you on with this? I have the answer, and then we can continue the next step and the next step. But the guilt always goes away when we realize the forgiveness, and then the life change begins to occur.
Yeah, great insight, guys.
Yeah, you and I, Richard, talked about this as far as the stages of faith.
Mm-hmm.
The gospel message is the death, the burial, the resurrection of Christ. That's his initiative into our lives. That's grace that's being poured out on us. And then salvation is by grace through faith.
Uh-huh.
So what does that faith look like? What does it look like in us? What does that response look like? And I think the first stage of faith is this idea of rest. I mean, we are so, busy trying to please God, so busy trying to assuage guilt and trying to get ourselves in good standing, and we're working feverishly to make that happen. And the more we work, the further away from that goal we actually get. And so when this gospel message hits our hearts, we hear it, and then we become fully persuaded. That's what faith is, becoming fully persuaded that something is true. Then we start to rest. That's the first sign that faith has really taken root in the depths of our hearts and souls. We begin to rest, and that's what she is saying.
Yes.
The next step is victory. We start seeing some victories in our lives. All of us have conflicts. All of us have temptations we're trying to overcome. But as we learn to rest in the finished work of Christ, as we learn to rest in the fact that Jesus Christ is alive, living in us, as we learn to abide in him, then we're going to start to see some victories in our life. Well, what does that look like? Overcoming some bad habits, learning to say no to the temptations that have been haunting us for most of our most of our lives. So we hear the message, we believe it to be true, and the first aspect of living that out is resting. That's what it looks like.
Yep.
And then it's victory, and then it's purpose. Our lives take on new purpose as we grow in this grace of God and grow in our knowledge of Christ Jesus. So you're exactly where you need to be if you're resting in the finished work of Christ. If there's still bad habits there, you're going to start seeing some victory. Keep trusting Jesus. Keep walking by faith.
Yeah. Yep. Jesus didn't save me so that I could fix myself. He saved me so that he could fix me.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
As I said, great insights, guys. And, of course, we always welcome email questions. We know many of you can't get to the phone while we're actually on the air live, so drop us a line by email, and we'll be glad to address your question or your particular issue on a later edition of Basic Gospel. We'd love to hear from you. Right now, again, plenty of open lines, plenty of time on the clock, 844-32-BASIC or 844-322-2742. Well, guys, I think all of us in ministry understand the importance of our listeners supporting us as much as possible in the month of December. Bob, tell us a little bit about why that's so important.
Well, December is always the biggest giving month of the year. Mm-hmm. For us, it means 25% of our annual budget.
That's
25%
big.
Of our annual budget comes in the month of December. And so we're counting on our listeners to step up, to rise up to the great mission that God has called us to, and to do so with financial support. We want people to pray for this outreach. We also want people to support it, to give financially so that others can hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. As we were working through this email question, we just outlined the process that God has called us to as far as a ministry, helping people hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. So somebody out there, they may have never heard the gospel. Well, what does tuning into the broadcast mean to them? Well, it may mean salvation. It may mean them going from death to life as they hear the good news proclaimed maybe for the first time ever in their lives. Well, wouldn't that be exciting to be a part of that? Well, you can be a part of that by giving a gift to Basic Gospel, reaching out and delivering the good news to those who are dead in sin and bringing salvation to their souls. There are others out there who are believers, yet they're stuck in a rut. They don't know how to get out of it. They're just in bondage. They're trapped, and they want to get out. Well, this broadcast can deliver the good news in such a way that they can become fully persuaded and experience some freedom in their lives. And once a person tastes freedom, they never want to go back. Well, how cool is it to be a part of that story by making a contribution into that person's life so that they can get engaged in this hear, believe, and live process? It's
right.
A discipleship process that folks enter into as they tune in and start to listen on a day-to-day basis. And then, you know, to see people coming to a point and dedicating their lives to helping others hear it, man, that's just so exciting to know that we were a part of that story,
yeah.
A part of that evolving story in a person's life. So your gifts are vitally important, particularly in the month of December. We need about 300,000 between now and the end of the year. That's about 25% of our budget. Mm-hmm. And if you can help us, if you can rise up and help us carry out this mission, we would greatly appreciate it. Your
sure.
gift today would be so mm-hmm. appreciated by us and by so many of our listeners out there.
Absolutely. And you'll find a prominent support link right in the center of our homepage at basicgospel.net. Or you can call and speak with our operator at 844-41-BASIC. That's 844-41-BASIC.
Thanks, Bob. Let's go to Louisville, Kentucky, and talk with Mike, listening to us on WFIA. Hi, Mike.
Hey, quick question, and I won't get into specifics, but just in general, my wife, being like a lifelong member of a particular denomination of Christianity, church, she pretty adamant that we as a family and the kids go to that denomination. I found some, the weekly sermon you don't hear anything off the wall, but when you start getting to the core fundamentals of some of their beliefs, I just find that it doesn't match up biblically. Like, it's more like, well, tradition says this, but they can't really show me in the Bible where it says it. So would you say, would it be better advice to set the good example and continue to go with my family to this church, and then just as things arise that I feel like aren't in the Bible, kind of talk with the kids about? Or would you say, because I haven't been going at all with them, because I'm just like, well, I don't want to hear that if it's not from the Bible. So what would be your advice, if that makes sense?
Well, Mike, I think if I'm in your shoes, I would take this as an opportunity to, you know, become the spiritual leader in the family. And I would probably go to the church with your wife for a period of time. But during that time, I would have, you know, after the service was over on Sunday, when we're sitting down having lunch, I would say, let's have a conversation about what we heard and how does it line up with the Word of God, and to use those as teaching moments for the entire family, for you, your wife, and your kids together, and say, let's explore what the Word of God has to say. We've heard a message. Some of the things sounded great, but do they match up with what the Bible has to say? And I think you can use that as a teaching moment. And I think as people, as your wife and your kids, see what the Word of God actually says in comparison to what's being heard, then some question marks can arise in their minds, and you can all make a decision together on where, if you need to stay in this church or if you need to go to another church that's going to be more appropriate for your family.
Yeah, I've attempted that. The kids are more open to it because they're younger and they're still learning. But my wife obviously isn't quite open to that.
Yeah. Well,
I'm seeing more as like trying to be a know-it-all. I guess if I say that, so it's kind of a fine line I got to walk.
But, right. I understand. Yeah. I understand that. But keep walking it. Keep walking line. Never give up.
And don't walk it just on Sundays or whatever day you go to church. Walk it all week long. Be in conversation with your wife. Be in relationship with her. You could learn something from her as she might learn something from you. And it just builds a stronger marriage that way.
All right.
Okay, Mike.
All right.
Hey, thanks for your call. Appreciate it. Well, let's go to Don in Yonkers, New York, listening to us on WMCA. Hi, Don.
Hey, Bob, how you doing? Haven't spoken to you for a while, you and your partner there. And I first like to say that I really appreciate WMCA. I've been listening for almost the whole 25 years of their anniversary. And, man, it sure has been a blessing to me as it brings in programs upon pastor, and by listening to the Word, the Holy Spirit guides you into what you should know until you actually do what is said in the basic gospel. You abide, you live in the truth, way, and in the life. I wanted to make a comment to, I think it was, his name is Kenny.
Well, just do it real quickly. We're just about out of time.
Okay. That's what he should do. Be prayerful that the Holy Spirit is the tutor in this earth realm, and be prayerful before you read the Bible, and that Holy Spirit will guide you into the truth where there is no confusion. Thank you for your courtesy, and good night.
Well, you're welcome, Don. Thanks for that great insight.
Yes,
that's exactly how we're to go into the Word of God, with a teachable spirit, abiding in God's Spirit to teach us truth.
Absolutely. Well, we are just about out of time. A quick reminder of a brand new product that we have for you, friends. You know, as I said the other day, life can sometimes be tough and can hit us hard and hurt us very deeply. In those times, it's hard to give thanks, but that's what God calls us to, as Paul wrote in 1 Thessalonians 5:18. So if you're struggling right now and feeling overwhelmed by life, we have a new booklet containing 42 hope-filled truths that will overflow your heart with thankfulness. It's called Do You Know Your Identity in Christ? And it's yours free to read online, to download, or you can order hard copies from basicgospel.net. We hope you'll take the opportunity to do that. Well, for Bob and Richard and the ministry team, Bob Davis saying God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow for another live edition of Basic Gospel. Bye-bye.